Indeed, we cannot tell. But indeed, we can guarantee that it will happen, because he has promised it. He has promised those words, and that we will all be with him one day. And grace and glory be to him. For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the 11th chapter of Matthew. And we'll begin with verse 25 and reading down through verse 30. It's Matthew chapter 11 and beginning with verse 25 and reading the words in Jesus' name. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you, Lord, for these words. And we pray, Father, that we would continue to mull upon them, we would continue to look upon them, and we think about them, and that indeed, that we would take our yoke and we would give it to you, and that you would help us carry it. Father, these words are your words. These words are true, because you indeed are true. In Jesus' name, amen. This particular portion of Matthew, Jesus is going out, or has gone out. We talked about John the Baptist and the verses previous to this. But in verse 16, he starts getting a little more point blank, I guess, if you could say. And he begins to rebuke the cities where he had spoken. And he even begins to name them off. You see, his message was brought to those cities. His message was there and it was proclaimed to them and he taught them. And they wouldn't hear him. But then as he gets down to verse 23, he talks about Capernaum, I believe it's called. This particular city was actually the, I guess maybe I might use the term command post for Jesus. That's where he was. That's where he kind of hung out, I guess you might say. But a lot of his teaching, or maybe we could even say most of his teaching, was done there. In verse 23, he says, And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if thy mighty works, or if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. This is the preface of what we read beginning with verse 25. He's kind of setting the stage, I guess, if you will. In verse 25, he begins by saying, and at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them to babes. God's word was not hidden. God's word is not hidden, even today. It's there for everyone to grab a hold of, to grasp. It's there for everyone to hear. And these people in these cities, they heard that message. And they chose not to listen to it. They chose to reject it. Because at that time, their lives were filled with success. Their lives were filled with all that the earthly person could want, or at least for the most part. There really wasn't any need in their heart. And isn't that true? When a person comes to faith, when a person comes to understand that they have nothing within themselves that they can grasp a hold of, or nothing within themselves that would be considered worthy of God, where do they turn? By the Holy Spirit, who works within the hearts of each and every person and who calls continually each and every day. That Spirit encourages that person to turn to God. Turn to Christ and remember what He has done for you. Turn to Him because He is the one that suffered, bled, and died for all of mankind. But you see, when a person comes to that point in their life where they recognize that there is nothing of value within themselves, there is nothing within themselves that they can point to and say, this allows me or this makes me worthy. They come to that point where they consider themselves the lowest of the low. They come to the point where they consider themselves the one who Christ died for. And at that point, then the Holy Spirit can begin to work. That Holy Spirit can begin to work in the heart of each and every person who considers themselves less than worthy, because they recognize that there is nothing that they can give. So he goes on and he says, "And I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes." He's not speaking at this particular point. He's not speaking to those before that are in those cities that rejected him. He's not talking about them. But he's talking about the religious leaders. He's talking about the Pharisees. The ones who would place so many rules and regulations and laws and everything on the populace that it would drive them down. And Jesus says, "I am so glad that you haven't been able to reveal your word to them." Not that it wasn't given to them. They heard it. But they chose not to obey it. They chose not to grasp it. And that's where he says, "and has revealed it unto babes." He talks about children a lot in Scripture, in the Gospels. Let me ask you, when a little child is growing up and the parent is teaching him or her, when the parent tells them something, they believe it. They don't question it. Oh, they might come up with a why or what if. But it's from a childish nature. And most generally can be explained. But they believe it. And they accept it. And this is what Jesus means by this, that you have revealed it unto children, or you've revealed it unto babes. Can a full-grown person such as ourselves here today, can we be considered babes? Of course we can. Because there are times where we are children at heart, and there are times that we need to be taught. There are times that we need to understand. God cannot make us understand if we stand in the way. We have to have the heart of a child. We have to have a heart of a young one who will accept what God is preaching or what God is teaching. Because if we don't accept it, it's not a good place to be. So once we have accepted what God has given to us, and what once we have accepted as truth, then God can begin to do his work, even as he says in the next verse, "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." You saw that this is what needed to happen. This is how it needed to be. So that all those who would know you would understand. And then he goes on and he says, "And all things are delivered unto me of my Father." That first sentence, "And all things are delivered unto me of my Father." Everything. God had given Christ everything. And Christ continued and fully understood what God was about. And then he goes on and he says, "And no man knows the Son but the Father." God knows who his Son is. "And neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Who is that? That's us. God has been revealed to us. God in all of his glory and his majesty, which we will never understand or never fully comprehend while on this earth. But we will catch glimpses of it. As the scripture says, we see as though darkly in a glass. One day we will see it, see everything as it is. We catch glimpses of God and his grace and his goodness. And then through those glimpses, it becomes a strengthening for us. It becomes a milestone, if you will, that we see God, or at least we see his glory, and we understand that he is doing what he's doing because of us. And then he says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's kind of setting it, this verse, he's kind of setting up the next two verses. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What's he saying? Come unto me, all of you that are trying to fix it yourself. Come unto me, all you that think you have the answers. Come unto me, who think because you know the answers, you just cannot seem to escape, and there is a heaviness within you. Because reality is, you don't know. The reality is, you don't have the answers. And he says, "And I will give you rest." How's he going to do that? By believing in him and trusting in what he has to say. Trust in what he has done for you. He goes on, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." We all know what a yoke is, or most of us do. It's something that is placed on the cattle so they can pull heavy loads. Or in this, I guess not cattle, oxen, I guess if you want to be precise. And they are deemed as extremely powerful beasts. But the interesting thing about a yoke is it's never single. It's never just one. It's always two. "Take my yoke upon me and upon you and learn of me." So if we take that yoke, and we allow Jesus to be with us and carry that yoke, you've got two people now considering, or at least pulling for you. You have yourself, of course, which never turns out good, because you just can't do it. But you have Jesus right there with you, pulling with you, comforting you, strengthening you. And that load does become easy after a while, because you don't have to carry it, because Christ already has on that cross. Christ carried it. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Meek and lowly is not a bad thing. Meek and lowly is something that's very good. Meek and lowly is something that is compassion and understanding and doesn't force itself upon a person. Meek and lowly is something that we should all attain to be. And you shall find rest unto your souls. Isn't that what we want? Where the turmoils of this life and all of the things that are going on, all the things that are happening out there, we can ignore them. We don't have to be caught up in them. Because Jesus has them under control. He has them, and he is just more than willing and more than ready to deal with them. What he wants us to do is he wants us to focus on him and allow him to comfort us, to strengthen us. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's our yoke, because we trust in him. Our yoke is one that we give over to him, and he carries the load for us. And in return, he gives to us that blessing. He gives to us that comfort that we can continue on. And it's not the burden that we at one point had to carry because of our own stubbornness, because of our own way of trying to deal with things. That burden now is no longer as heavy. Does it mean that we'll never think of it again? Absolutely not. We're human. Things like that are going to happen. But we've given that load over to Christ. And that's what Jesus wants of us even this morning. He doesn't want us to handle it. He doesn't want us to try to make a success out of it, or even try to fix it. He just wants us to give it to him. Think about that for a moment. All of the things that you have to struggle and fight with, and things that to you seem to be so important and so domineering in your life, and such a roadblock in front of you that you don't even know how you're going to get around it. Give it to Christ, and he'll handle it. We don't have to. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I can take care of it, is what he tells us. I can deal with it, is what he tells us. You don't have to. Just trust in me. And isn't that the message of Scripture? Trust in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Because he indeed is our salvation.